Holy crap. Man, muscle memory, dude.
What'd you do?
Ross Tucker's joining us this coming football season on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock, which is now. So we're getting
Is he here?
He just texted me.
Oh.
Starting today. Dude. I had completely forgotten.
Wait, at what time?
Right now. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So he's calling in.
He texted me. We usually call him. So he was all ready to go. And I had our boss had texted me 2 weeks ago, hey, Ross is back on for the upcoming football season. And I was probably somewhere where I didn't make a note in the rundown. I was very excited about it, naturally.
Are we still doing the mayonnaise? Are we doing the mayo game day be delicious?
I don't know.
I hope we didn't switch over to Duke or something.
That'd be awkward
if we've already done the mayo game day be delicious.
We'll have to ask. Yeah, we're scrambling a little bit, but I think, I know Ross is available because he just texted, are we starting today, right? 7 o'clock Central Time. And I see his phone number down there, and Ben is chatting with him, and we have him right now.
Yay!
Joined right now by the great Ross Tucker, who is our Odyssey NFL insider. Ross, apologies. Our boss texted us 2 weeks ago, hey, Ross is back on this season. I was jubilant about this, but I forgot to put it in the rundown that this is week one and we need to talk to you. How are you, my friend?
I am doing wonderful, but I was wondering what was going on. I hadn't seen any social posts. I mean, we have an entire top five city in the country that has their morning routine revolve around this.
That's
and
true.
I hadn't seen any social media posts. I hadn't seen anything from either one of you guys.
Yeah.
And it's 8:02 Eastern, 7:02 Central. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, imagine driving to work. I know everybody's got these rich oil companies or whatever they're going to right now. And they got to sit there and buy and sell oil all day. They could at least know that they're going to get their Ross Tucker at 7
That's
o'clock
so
on
true.
Tuesday
That's
on the
right.
way.
So true. Yes, yes, yes.
Energy traders in general, you were a big hit with the Enron folks back in the day. You're the only thing.
Is that one of the most annoying things about living in Houston that everybody thinks everybody's a rich oil person? That's got to be up there with the Houston we got a problem thing.
No, that's bad. The Houston we have a problem is you hit the nail on the head with that one.
I think if anything, people underestimate how just how many wealthy people there are in Houston compared to Dallas, because in Dallas they let you know about it.
Yeah.
If you make $37,000 in a year in Dallas, you're scrounging up money for your first down payment on a BMW you can't afford. Or in Houston, people just go about their business and they don't necessarily flaunt it as much. Women
are
less slutty down here.
You know what's funny about that, Seth? You know what's funny about that? So in 02 and 03, I played for the Cowboys, okay? And I'm not kidding. I told people, Dallas gave me a lot of LA vibes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Make it till you make it.
Very, very, very showy and all of that. And then the craziest thing is where I used to get a massage when I was playing for the Cowboys, I would go in there. Now, keep in mind, I'm from Pennsylvania and whatever that means. And I went to college at Princeton. So I'm still a young guy. I would go to this place to get the massage. And they might have had 40, at least 40 treadmills, ellipticals, all those things. Guys, to this day, I've never seen it before or after. There would be a line of women, 8 to 10 deep, waiting to get on one of the 40 ellipticals and treadmills. I was this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. I've never seen a line multiple people deep of people waiting to get on an elliptical or a treadmill.
That was because those women can be distracted by their OnlyFans accounts, whereas back then they just had to kill time. I think is the problem. Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. And as far as massages in Houston, I mean, there's just nothing going on there to speak of. So yeah, if anything, we've gotten more massage jokes in the last few years than jokes about big oil money.
Yeah.
Or anything.
Thanks, Deshaun. We appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, on the line is Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Make sure to check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, a daily NFL podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. So that's That's our. Can we still say "May your game day be delicious," Ross? Because I really enjoyed doing that last year. Are we allowed to do that?
I don't know. I guess they're not sponsoring it. Yeah. I'm glad they're talking about my podcast. I can assure you, I'm not sponsoring this right now yet. But I'm glad I'm on with you guys.
Yes.
Check out the show. Or I got the betting show, Even Money Podcast today. YouTube is blowing up. YouTube.com/RossTuckerNFL. And I would say, let's not say. Number one, they're not paying for it. Number two, mayo is not delicious.
Yeah.
Okay, spicy mustard's where it's at. Mayo, spicy mayo okay. sandwich. Get some spicy mustard on
okay.
it.
Okay, we're just talking about random condiments now.
Hey,
that's what we're doing.
Ross. You're an offensive lineman in the NFL forever. Obviously, you do color commentary. You did a couple Texans games last year. Earlier, we had Phil Sims, a clip from Phil Sims talking about just the scheme last year. You know, the offensive line as players were one thing, but that the predictability of the scheme and the simplicity of the pass protection, was also a huge issue. And I agree with that, by and large. This is what I've been saying all offseason, and I think I've started to see the fruition of it or some hints of it during training camp. It's that, man, you can be a solid offensive line without having a bunch of all pros or Pro Bowl or offensive linemen on there if you're just simply well coached and if you communicate well enough. But now that the rubber meets the road in week one, my faith is getting tested a little bit just because the Texans still don't look great individually on paper as offensive linemen, but it's a much cleaner operation. So, like, how much better can they be than last year just based on having a cleaner operation?
Well, so, I mean, I could talk about this for the whole segment, and I just might. A couple things. You guys know I had 9 different offensive line coaches in the NFL. I can't begin to tell you how wide a disparity there was in terms of competency and how much I think it had an impact on the teams that I was on and why offensive line coaches deservingly that are really good get paid what they do. I think it really goes a long way towards having an impact on the outcome of games. I really do. You know, you could take the same 5 guys with a bad offensive line coach, and they're going to be below average. And if you have an excellent offensive line coach, I think those guys can be average to maybe even slightly above. And the other thing I say about it is that, you know, it's nice to have like an all-pro lineman. You want that, right? I would much rather have 5 average guys that I know what I'm going to get out of than 3 all-pros and 2 below average, if that makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. On some level with offensive line play, and I think D-line's the opposite. D-line, you'd rather have, like, a couple below average than have, like, some absolute rock stars. For offensive line, you're kind of only as good as your weakest link, right? So if you have guys that are struggling, it's really, really hard to overcome that, especially if there's multiple ones. By the way, I want to read you guys something really quick.
Okay.
This is, like, amazing timing. I was talking on my show about Laremy Tunsil, because this was a Washington thing on the Ross Tucker podcast, because obviously the Commanders traded for him. Okay, Tunsils. We talked about this. 19 penalties last year for Tunsil, 3rd most in a season since 1999. Mm-hmm. He was penalized 95 yards, but he also nullified 120 yards in games.
Yeah.
That's the 8th most since 99. 95 plus 120, that's 215. 2nd most in the season since 1999. He was tied with Cowboys left tackle Tyler Guyton, who got benched twice, with 11 stalled drives, meaning drives where after his penalty, the team not only didn't score points, but didn't gain another first down. I've been dying to get more context into just how bad Tunsil's penalties were on the team. And it's like wild to think that somebody traded what the Commanders traded to pay Laremy what he gets paid to nullify and stall that many drives.
Ross, you're taking the words right out of my mouth. My follow-up to Seth's question was going to be, so it sounds like the Laremy Tunsil trade actually makes sense to you, unlike a lot of people outside of Houston that look at it and go, why are you trading away your best pass protector when your quarterback got sacked 52 times? I can tell you 77 of those 120 yards was the first play that Nico Collins was back from his hamstring injury, a screen pass that Nico took 77 yards to the house against the Cowboys on one of the first plays of the game. It was frustrating here. And I would add to that too, and I know Seth would as well. It wasn't just the penalties and all the things you just said. Laremy was elevated in that offensive line room as some sort of example or leader, and really was not that. He didn't practice a lot, wasn't a dog in the run game. It feels like D'Amico Ryans has gone out and Nick Caserio have gone out and made an effort to find guys that really love football, that are really tough, maybe not as physically talented as Laremy, but nowhere to be and really love to grind.
I love everything you just said. I was not good, okay? I was below average athletic ability. But when I would watch the Texans last year and I'd see guys coming free, it was infuriating, like infuriating. And whether you want to blame the O-line coach or the OC or the players, as always, it's a combination of all of them, but it was not pro football, and it was not good enough. And I have two missions for this season. One is I'm single-handedly going to get people to stop saying that a guy that has 19 penalties is a really good player or elite. You're necessarily not if you have 19 penalties. You are not that. I don't care if you're great in one-on-ones in practice. I don't care if you have great feet. You're not an elite player if you have 19 penalties. The other thing is, I'm going to say 6-7 so many times that it's not going to be funny or popular with kids anymore. I'm so sick of my daughters saying 6-7.
I don't know what
I still don't know what it means, but I say it any chance I get. Because I am going to just hammer that thing until it's no longer cool.
Until it's not cool. I've never even heard it before. What is it? When do they use it?
What?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Sean,
yeah.
If you have any kids between – anybody listening right now, if you have any kids between, like, 8 and 15
– Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
They say – it's like from a song, I guess, where they're talking about a basketball player who's 6'7", but the guy goes 6'7". And, like, the way he says it's just weird. So kids think it's funny. And they say it all the time, and I'm so sick of it that I'm gonna pound this idiom or whatever it's called into submission.
Good job.
According to AI, it's used to tell someone to go away or stop bothering you.
Oh, okay.
Is that how have you gotten it from your kids that way? Like, Dad, 6-7.
No.
Are you sure? You sure?
No, they
Ross,
say say it anytime. Like, what time's dinner? I don't know, like 6-7.
Okay.
And they all die. Like every time one of them says it, they all die laughing like it's the funniest thing they've ever heard. And I'm like, God, how are we not over this yet?
Yeah.
I'm 46. I'm over it.
And I think you can single-handedly make it uncool, Ross, if you put your mind to it. So that and Laremy Tunsil, those are your two co-celebras right now, huh?
Well, okay, I'm not going to just say Laremy Tunsil, but I'll say any player with that many penalties.
Yes, yeah.
I think we need to get to the point where we stop talking about them like they're an elite player.
Yeah.
Ross, this is what would drive me insane last year, was that people would try to stick up for Laremy Tunsil, and they would say, well, he's just trying to time the snap count, and that's why he's having these false starts. And I'm like, I know why he's doing it. It's plain as day why he's doing it. He's trying to get an advantage or an edge. The problem is that the really genuinely great offensive linemen, offensive tackles like Trent Williams or those guys, on average, will have 2 to 4 pre-snap penalties per year. They do it without cheating, or if they do it, they time the snap count appropriately. Ross, it was years of Laremy Tunsil blaming the center for his problems with his false starts. Well, none of the other inferior offensive linemen seemed to have an issue with the center. It was always, well, you know, this center snap count or this quarterback's cadence is different or something. It was infuriating. You're exactly right. And the problem is,
who cares what the reasoning or logic is?
Right.
Hey,
I only robbed that bank because I needed the money. Yeah. Bank.
I held the D tackle because I didn't want him to kill the quarterback. Like, what? like, there's always a reason, but that doesn't make it okay. And listen, I'm okay. Those guys are all trying to time up the count now. Okay. You want to get one or two a year. I can live with that if you're trying to time it up. If you can get a jump on every single snap and for one or two a year, but let me just say also, like, Laremy Tunsil, Lane Johnson, Trent Williams, these guys are so good. They don't need to do that. Yeah. They can still have the snap count advantage without having to get a false start. And it's maddening. Everything about the Texans O-line last year was maddening. Is this right, by the way? Like, is it going to be Ursary, Tomlinson, Andrews, Ingram, Howard? Is that the starter?
That is. That's the starting five. Yeah, what do you think?
That is wild, by the way, to look at the resources. I actually give D'Amico and Casario a ton of credit. You look at the resources of their backup O-line, like second-round pick Blake Fisher, second-round pick Juice Scruggs, Cam Robinson this offseason, they gave him a bunch of money. You know, there are other organizations where those guys would be playing. They would be playing because the GM wants to save face or whatever. Thank goodness Casario realizes none of that matters. Mm-hmm. There is no saving face. Get the five guys out there that give you the best chance to win games, because the reality is the team is absolutely loaded on defense. If the offensive line can just be average, they have a chance to go as far as they want to go.
Okay, Insider Calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Ross, do you have time for one more question? I don't know what your schedule is here.
Yes, quickly, though, quickly. I always have I have to record the betting show.
Okay, gotcha. Real quick.
Even Money. Why am I not saying the name of it?
Even
Money. Even Money.
Where do you have the Texans in your power ranking? What's your prognostication for the Texans this coming season?
Ooh, okay, so I just did it. I just did power rankings on a Tuesday, Ross Tucker Football Podcast. I think I had them – I got to look at it. I think I had them 11.
Okay.
And right now I have them as like a 9 or 10 win team. Mm-hmm. The reality is when you're doing power rankings, you're really just talking about, I would say, question marks.
Yeah.
Okay? And so for the Texans, O-line and running back are like major question marks.
For sure.
So it's hard to put them in the top 10. If they answer those questions in the affirmative, well then – they could be almost as good as anybody, but those are question marks. And also, you know, I thought CJ took a little bit of a step back last year. And so sort of how he bounces back is another question mark as well. Cause then, you know, you get into the top 10 guys, you're in rarefied air. I mean, almost all those teams have top 10 quarterbacks and really good teams and probably less question marks than the Texans. I think where the Texans really are in a good spot, the Texans, like, their defense should be ridiculous. I mean, their D-line, their secondary, it's very, very impressive. So, yeah, I think I had them 11 to start the year. Yeah. I'll give you the Texans any of my first three games, unfortunately.
I'll give you a quick little nugget. Keep your eye on Woody Marks, the running back. I think that you as an offensive lineman would appreciate this. By rookie standards, amazingly good in pass protection. So I think the team's going to trust them to be out there, and I think he ends up getting used a lot more than people outside Houston might expect.
Ooh, I like that. I'm still wanting to know. I still want the artist formerly known as Damian Pierce to get some carries, like he did his rookie year when he was killing people.
Yeah,
too.
He seems to be a better fit for this offense than Bobby Slowick's offense, but he hasn't touched the ball much. He was injured, and he didn't practice until about the last week and a half of camp. So He's on the depth chart, but we'll see how he gets used. I'm with Seth on Woody Marks. Keep an eye on that one for sure. That's Ross Tucker. He is our Odyssey NFL insider. Make sure to check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, a daily NFL podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Ross, it's great to connect again. We can't wait for our Tuesday mornings with you throughout the season, man. Go get them.
Well, you could wait. You didn't even remember or think about it until I texted coming. You guys. So you could wait. Don't lie. See you guys.
You just dropped the mic on us right there.
Well, look, Ross knows what's going on here. You're the one that's supposed to keep track of things administratively because I'm pretty much useless.
Yeah.
This is
on me.
We're pretty much doomed here. If you're going downhill, this show's on it.
This is on me.
Good luck.
I got a random text from our boss 2 weeks ago. We got Ross Tucker coming on again, and it's on me that this wasn't in the rundown. Okay. We're good.
It's like asking the who are the two characters in Mice and Men? George. It's like asking George to run the show because Lenny's losing it.
Never read it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You didn't have to read it in high school? Well, they did the cartoon was Lenny and George. They did a cartoon version of it too. Yeah. So,
yep. Yeah. All right. So that was a great Ross Tucker who seems to be perturbed with us.